Parshas Vayera, Simon, as we know, the 10 Makkos are in Parshas Vayera, and the next Parsha, Bo. So you can remember Vav Aleph, the first two letters of Vayera, add up to 7, 7 Makkos in Parshas Vayera, and Bo, Beis Aleph, 3. And even if you only remember one, you know the rest, 10 minus whatever it is, will be in the other Parsha. And it's very interesting that the first pasuk starts Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, and we see two contradicting terms. As we know, Dibur Vayidaber is a Lashon Kasha, harsh, tough language. Amira Vayomer a Lashon Kal. So Elokim, which goes with Dibur, is a lashon for strict justice, judge. Hashem, the name for Rachamim. So the Rosh Hashiv explains beautifully that, as we know, at the end of the last parasha, Moshe is complaining to Hashem that he still didn't take up in Israel, and it's even gotten worse. They even added more harsh labor, the koshesh kash lateven, the last straw, so to speak, should have been reached. And kash, bigmatria, 400. But the 400 years of golus that was decreed by Boris Ben Absarim, this is all part of what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu now. You think that this is harshness. Elokim, with Dibur, that's going on now, that Bnei Israel are not being taken out still. But actually, this is the Midas HaRachamim working. Because, as we just said, we know that 400 years were decreed for Bnei Israel. In order to take him out now, after only 210 years in Mitzrayim, and especially since, as the Zohar says, they reached the 49th Madrega of Tumah, number 50 will be the point of no return. How does Hashem take them out? Only if he makes it harsher now for a temporary time, in order that they should not have to be here more, so to speak, time and a half, double time. This way they can now go out faster. And Rashi points out in Pasuk Gimel, "Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'Yakov ve'el Shadoi u'Shmi Adonai lo nodati lehem." And Rashi seems to be saying a very strange thing. On Va'era, Rashi says, "El ha'avos, I appeared to the fathers." What is Rashi telling us? The Pasuk already told us clearly, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What does Rashi tell us by saying about others? So Rav Moshe Zatzal and Dorash Moshe explains, Rashi is telling us that this is part of the Musar that Hashem is giving now to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining, as we explained, and Hashem is telling him, by telling him, "Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak Yaakov," that you are acting, Moshe Rabbeinu, like a father for their children. But don't forget, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, your forefathers, all Bnei Yisrael's forefathers, they were also fathers. And yet, they did not complain when they did not see something that I told them come to fruition yet, even in their own lifetime. They had the bitachon and the emunah that it will be done. For whatever reason, Hashem does not see fit to do it yet. It's always understood and known that it's for our own benefit. They never complained. Therefore, that's the musa that Hashem is giving him. They were also the greatest of fathers. And yet, they didn't complain when they didn't see a promise not being fulfilled yet, because they had the faith that it would be fulfilled in the proper time. Hashem knows what's best. It's always for the best. Kol David Achman L'tav David Gam Zu L'tova. Even if we may not see it. Then we have the four famous expressions of Gula, which correspond to the four kosos. Hotseitzi, Yitzalti, Goalti, Lakachti. And of course we have a fifth one, Behevesi, which corresponds to the kosher of Yahu, symbolizing Mashiach time. And Rosh Hashiv explains beautifully that they correspond to the three different levels of Golus that Bnei Israel had. There was a period of Geirus, where they were sojourners in the land of Mitzrayim, and then there was a period of Avdus, slavery, and then there was a period of Inui, much harsher, at the birth of Miriam for 86 years. That's why she was called Miriam, because I'll explain the bitterness, the extra Inui that was started at that time. And that's the first three Lishonos. Hotseisi, Eschem, Mitachas, Evlos Mitzrayim. And of course we know it has to go backwards to taken out like that. Taken out from the Sivlos, the Inui, the really burdensome Malacha. That's the first step. Vihitzalti, Eschem Yavodosom. And it will take you out from the regular Avoda, which we know, as Chazal say, happened at Rosh Hashanah time. And then V'goalti Eschem B'zorah Netuyah. I will redeem you B'zorah Netuyah V'shvatim Gedolim after Makas B'choros, the complete taking out of Mitzrayim, ending the Geirus. And then, of course, Lakachti Eschem Lilam V'yisi Lachem Elokim Har Sinai, the Nesinas, giving of the Torah, the whole purpose of Bnei Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim, the whole purpose of the world, as we know from the beginning of Bereishis, as Rashi brings down from Chazal. And then the last Lashon Hibesi, Eschem to the Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, and of course ideally the final one forever, the permanent one that won't be destroyed anymore, with Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, with Mashiach, Hashtov HaGolov Zman Koriv. And then Sheni begins with the genealogy, Shevet Levi, to show the Yichus of the Moshiach of Israel, Moshe and Aaron. So of course we would think that it would be enough, Shevet Levi itself, to show where they come from. But it begins with Reuben, the Bechor, and then Shimon, and then Levi. So it would seem, if they're going to do the other Shvatim, Do all of them? And if not, just Levi. Rashi does bring one pshat. I would think another pshat l'anias daiti, that we can say that, as we know, siblings, not only parents, have a great deal to do and can have the ability to do with the upbringing, the chinuch, the education of the siblings, older siblings for the younger siblings. And that's what the Torah is showing us here also, that the product, Moshe and Aaron, you have to have hakaras hatov for anything and anyone that you benefit from. Of course, the final decision is yours. B'chira, kol b'dei shemayim chutz m'yirah shemayim. You have to make the choice whether you will want to be influenced and carry out positive or negative influences. But if you choose to, those who give those influences have to get the hakaras hatov, the acknowledgement and thanks for what they are putting in, contributing, whether good or bad. And that's what it's showing us here. As we know, the older siblings who came first, they have an especial influence on the younger ones. Of course, younger siblings can teach older ones also. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Izehu Chacham Halomei Mikol Adam. But in general, as we know, how the older siblings can have that effect on the younger ones. And that's why the pasuk is bringing from the beginning till Levi came the third son. And as Rosh Shiva points out, the name of Levi, accompanying like a baya, attachment, the supreme attachment to Hashem, as the Shevet Levi proved throughout by never slipping up, never giving in when the other Shvatim in general slipped up, by the Meraglim, by the Chet HaEgel, and throughout Mitzrayim, that they were put up on Avoda because they stuck, so to speak, stuck it out and kept the faith, stayed in Goshen, not getting assimilated, but in the Beis Medrash, in the Bati Midrashim that they made, as Yehuda started, as we know from the previous parashas, as Rashi brings down from Chazal, and they put the kolel shevet, so to speak, all throughout. You notice that the pasuk says, talking about the marriages, for instance, of Aaron, taking Elisheva as a wife. So mentions in Chav Gimel, for instance, V'yikach Aaron es Elisheva bas aminodav achos nachshon lo li'isha. It would seem that the lo is not needed. You could just say li'isha, he took her for a wife. What is the lo for him? I would say, we could say, as Rosh Hashiva Zatzal the Moshe says in Dorosh Moshe, and another pasuk, a different pasuk, that we know, as the Gemara says at the beginning of Sota, 40 days before the forming of the child and the mother, the Basco calls out and says, this one is for that one. Hashem makes the shidduch. And what the pasuk wants to point out, since we know anyway that Hashem makes the shidduch. It's telling us low for him that shidduch is the best for him. It is specifically for him to reach the highest madrigas that he possibly can. As you have a pair of glasses, what fits one doesn't fit another. You won't see as clearly. That's the same thing that we must understand. It's not only that Hashem picks it out for you, and then chas v'shalom you feel, but you know, I don't think this is so good for me. If you have the true emunah, that you understand that if Hashem picked it out, of course He's picking out the best for you. If we all would understand that and have that pure faith, would have the best marriages with the greatest simcha. If they understood that. The problem is, if one or both don't understand it, then you have the tzaras. Then you have in Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Hashem says, "Vani achshes leparo, I will harden Paro's heart." And as Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu He would do in the previous parsha, I saw, I think it was B'shem the Kotzke Rebbe, that another pshat in the hardening of Paro's heart is the fact that we shouldn't think that the Bechira was taken away from him. The point is, after seeing such nisim, how anyone in their right mind could possibly not let the Bnei Yisrael go? You would think they have to be crazy. The point being that because of that, because of the nisim that was shown and done here, Hashem has to offset the Yetzer Hara again to make it equal. It is not the normal situation. When you have the normal situation, there's the Yetzer Hara of normality and the Yetzer Tov. But when you have such an Yotzim and Aklal, exceptional situation where it would be, one has to give in, Hashem then accordingly makes the Yetzer Hara even out. And that's Pshat in Ani Akshes Leparo. Towards the end of the Parsha before Shvi, in Pasuk Yudalid, when Hashem says that now He will send Kol Magiv Hosai, all my plagues against Paro, so Rashi explains there that we see from here that Makas Bikuros, the Maka of literally the first fruits, that Barad destroyed, is equal to all the Makos. Of course we have to understand why. And I would say that Pshat is that this is the first time that they felt everything was lost. It was a psychological and physical destruction of the magnitude they never saw before. Because now they see that if they go outside, they are killed physically. If they stay inside, they're seeing all their crops being destroyed, even though, as we see later, not all of them. It was, like we're saying now, the first ripening ones that are hard. But as far as they were concerned, they didn't necessarily see that now. They're seeing things being destroyed with the fire and hail. So then they saw that even they escape now, because they're not outside, they will die anyway. The whole economy is ruined. No food. Nothing. And therefore, as we know, kol hascholos kashos, even though they might have other makas after this, but especially the first one of such a magnitude was worse. They were at a loss. They felt that everything was lost. Then, when Barak comes, and Paro seems to be doing a tshuva, and he says, "Chatosi apam, Hashem hatzadik, v'ani rami horoshoyim," and Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, in Pasuk Lamed, that I know that you and your servants still are not ready to fear Hashem as you should, that you will still go back on your word. And Rosh Hashiva has a beautiful pshat here and says that Paro, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, in Ches Amar Aleph, that he was a freak of nature. He was an ama in size. His beard was an ama. And his aver was an ama and a half. Ama v'zeres. And he says that we can take it, the physical description, as exact, but also we can take it as a mashal for what we know, that Paro was a Chacham Gadol. He knew all 70 languages. You had to be in order to be a Paro. And the fact that that's what it says. When the Zakan, as we know, Zakain, Zeshakan Chachma, the symbol of wisdom, that is telling us that he was complete in wisdom. He was full, his whole self. He was an Amma and his Chachma was an Amma. And yet, we see with all his Chachma that he did this rishus. And the answer is that that's true, and that's the difference between Bnei Yisrael with the Torah and the other nations. The other nations, with all their chachma and their beautiful ideas, but what happens? It's all man-made. And since it's man-made, if they have the desire and don't want to control their desire in order to carry out their ideas, their wisdom that shows such beautiful philosophy, ideally, then they don't do it. And that was Paro. Like you have the story of a philosopher, they say Aristotle was caught doing a sinful thing, and he said, "Now I'm not Aristotle the philosopher." That's the difference. They might have, as the Rav says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, also beautiful ethical works, but the difference is it's not rooted in the divine, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Hashem. It's rooted according to their minds. And if they don't feel it's applicable, or they don't feel that they want to carry it out on this day or this period of time, as a classic example in recent history, the Germans cultured sophisticated, and yet it all went out the window. And they used the Chachma in order to explain it as a new law, as a new kind of sophistication of killing and murder, because that's the way it goes. It's not rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it's rooted in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Taiva, which is symbolized in the Gemara by Paro, that his Taiva was too much for him, because everything, his ideas were rooted in himself, it goes out the window. But when it's rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't change. And you know it's a chok v'lo yavor, that's the best thing, and that's what you have to do. So if the taiva tries to get you, you know there's a higher power, greater infinitely than you yourself. And that's what was the problem with Paro, though, that didn't believe that, didn't want to. When he would have been asked, why are you still doing what you're doing? He says, beyond me, my taiva is greater. It's an amma and a half than my wisdom. And that's the gematria of Terem. Terem is the gematria 249. As we know, we have 248 limbs, the whole body. And that was being hinted here for Paro. Your body, your physical desire is beyond you, is beyond your wisdom, so to speak. You let it get the better of you. Then the Pesukim say that the Pisht and Soro were the examples of those crops that were destroyed because they were in the hard stage, first ripening, and the wheat and spelt were not yet ripened fully, so they were soft and were able to bear the maka of Barad. And Rashi says on Pasuk Lamed Beis, when it describes the chit and kusemes as kiafilos heina, he gives one shot that says the Darshu Kiafilos Pile Plos comes from the Lashon of wonder of wonders, Pele. It was a wonder of wonders that they were not smitten by the plague of Barad. So we can ask, what's Pshat? And that it was wonder of wonders. It's explained in the Pasuk. It's because it was soft and therefore could not be destroyed by the Barad. Was able to be supple, give, bend. So the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, the Moshe, and Darash Moshe explains that Pshat is that, of course, according to the laws of nature that Hashem made, these were not able to be destroyed. But it is still wonder of wonders that Hashem didn't make it to be destroyed because of the rishis that was going on by Paro and its people to the Bnei Yisrael. Like the Gemara in Gittin says, Mi chamocha v'ilim Hashem, who is like you, Hashem? That the Lashon of Elim, the Gemara Darshan, is like Elim, mute. That even though there's such rishis, that Hashem is Erech HaPayim, long-suffering, and gives the opportunity and so many chances for the tshuva to be done. That is a peleployim. That is wonder of wonders. And that's what's going on here also. Another pshat that Rosh Hashanah gives is like the Gemara in Ma'at Katan, dealing with the case of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, that his daughter by accident, instead of lighting the olive oil for the Shabbos candles, lit vinegar, and she cried. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa said, the same one who made olive oil burn can make vinegar burn. And that's what happened. That's what we have to understand here. Tava itself is the miracle of miracles, wonder of wonders, because it's all from Hashem. That's why Elokim and Hateva is the same gematria. 86.